I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, it's Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month.
Okay.
It is March Madness. Could go hand in hand, but
there you go.
Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and that's what we're going to talk about today. What exactly is colorectal cancer?
It is a abnormal growth of the cells in the large intestine or in the rectum area.
Okay.
And it is a very big problem, and something that can be very preventable.
Oh, that's encouraging.
Yes.
Yeah, preventable.
Yeah.
Well, how common is colorectal cancer?
Well, it is the second leading cause of cancer deaths. The number of people who are diagnosed each year with colorectal cancer is 140,000. And 50,000 people die a year from colorectal cancer.
Okay. So you said the second.
Yes.
Of all the cancers.
Second leading cause of death of all the cancers. And coming at it early is the best prevention.
Mm-hmm. And how deadly is it?
Well, if you get it, it's about a third of the people die from it. So it's about one third. So, it is something to be taken very seriously, and people should be aware of that. That's one of the reasons that the CDC really wants to have us get out there, talk about it, get some information. Because people are not aware and not taking the proper precautions. I always talk to my patients about that and make sure that that is one of the screening things that they're doing. And it's something that isn't done as it should be. Only about one third of the people are getting their checks to make sure that they don't have colon cancer.
And we're going to talk about prevention during the show, but let's get, we're just getting some facts now to talk about, but who gets colorectal cancer?
It's as common in males and females. It has quite a few different types of things that go along with that. Obesity is one of the things. If you are overweight, you have a higher chance of getting colorectal cancer. The average ages that you get that is between 50 and 75. So those are kind of the prime times that you should be aware and having that checked. So, obesity is one of the main factors along those lines. You also, if you're a cigarette smoker, you have a higher chance of having it. Overindulge in alcohol. Those types of things can help to lead to a higher incidence of colorectal cancer.
So what are some of the symptoms?
Well, that's one of the difficult types of things is that most people who have colorectal cancer show no signs or symptoms whatsoever. So it's sort of one of those silent types of killers. There are a few types of symptoms that could be showing up that if you see, then you need to take that seriously. One of the things that I remember when I first opened up is I had a patient who came in who with severe back pain. And I was checking him out, and things weren't, checking that he should have, that he would have a problem with his back. And I checked his abdomen, and he had extreme tenderness there. So I started asking him about his bowels, and I said, have you seen any blood in your stool? And he said, yes. And he had seen three other doctors for his back pain. And I said, did you tell any of them that you had, blood in your stool? He says, no, I've kind of kept it quiet. So people don't like to talk about
their stools.
Mm-hmm. That's not one of the common things. So I immediately sent him, to the emergency room with an explanation of what was going on, and he had advanced colon cancer. And he was only 31.
Wow.
So, you know, it can strike at younger ages, especially if you have a history of that. And he had had a mom who had died of colon cancer at a young age, too. Mm-hmm. Now, he should have been starting to, you know, have
that checked out. Do his colonoscopies.
Yeah, he should have been starting a lot sooner along those lines. And that is one of the major types of symptoms that can is blood in the stool. So if you happen to see that, even though you're young, stomach pains, aches and pains, because as I palpated his, he was complaining of back pain, but really he was having abdominal pains. And then losing weight, unexplained. Mm-hmm. Losing weight can also be a sign of colon cancer. But that's usually more of an advanced types of symptoms. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having that awareness, you know, he died soon afterwards.
Mm.
But
you said a lot of times you don't even know.
Most of the time,
that's why screenings are so important.
And his was very advanced. All these symptoms didn't really start out on him until it was much more of an advanced type of a case. So, mm-hmm. you know, having awareness, that type of thing, and it is something that we try to educate our patients on and make sure that that's one of the things that they're having done.
So why is screening so important?
Well, your brother talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law. He went in for a colonoscopy, and the GI specialist said, well, that's why I do what I do. Because
mm-hmm.
he was able to see some polyps that were precancers. I was able to remove them. And you know, get those out of there, because if those had been left
mm-hmm.
in 15, 20 years, he would have had full blown colon cancer. But because he had those removed, he probably won't have that.
Mm.
So he's getting every 3 years getting a colonoscopy to make sure that those are taken care of, and it's a very simple procedure to remove those initial cancerous polyps.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's something that is can be easily prevented and controlled if you are, you know, getting that checked. But if you're not getting it checked and those things are left alone, they can become very deadly.
Right.
You know, you're talking about over one third of the people who get colon cancer wind up dying from it, in spite of the treatments that go on. So it has a very high death rate.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to, you know, you want to take care of your colon, make sure that it's functioning properly, and then also getting it checked at the proper time. And that's something that you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure that we have a good check, making sure that we don't have
cancer. Oh, and the nurses really like when you get your colon.
We had to bring that up. Yes, I am quite humorous, I guess. They do the Twilight thing because I don't like to feel anything. And yes, I the doctor.
I wish I was there. That I'm not missing the next one.
Yeah. Please do not videotape because I am not aware.
I was there for your first one, and you are quite hilarious.
Quite funny. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Maybe we have to, you know, we'll bring the radio mic in next.
Yeah, just to see.
Because what... they were. I didn't even. Our son picked you up after, and. They were all lined up as he was rolling you out. They were laughing.
Yeah, they were waving, and yes, I guess I got a gold star by my name that everybody wants to be there when I do that.
They didn't tell you what you did, huh?
No, no.
As long as you kept your clothes on, or gown on.
Right.
Well, when we talk about colonoscopy, my first one, I thought, well, I've birthed three children naturally.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, and all the nurses in there said they had done it.
Without the toilet.
Yeah.
Right.
Going. And I'm like, well, they can do it. I can do it. So we had this plan that if it got to a point I couldn't take it anymore, I would squeeze their hand. So, and I could watch it on the screen, the tube and everything. So sure. I'm watching it, and then the first bend, oh my gosh, I squeezed her hand. I don't remember anything else. I'm like, this isn't like birthing children. There's no result. What am I trying to be a martyr for?
I wasn't trying to be brave at all. No.
I still want to know. I am not missing your next one. So, what screenings are available?
Well, checking for blood in the stool is probably one of the more important types of things. And, should be checked out.
Looking at your stools.
Right. And it's a chemical. They can do it a couple of different types of ways. So they can check for blood. Mm-hmm. They can do a DNA test or a microscopic test. So that's one of the first ways to do it. There is something also on a DNA test that they can do and check the stool.
Wow.
And see if there's any cancer cells in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a very important way as a screening type of thing, but don't rely on that. You should be talking to your gastroenterologist on what they prefer in your particular case. Mm-hmm. But that is something that is an option along those lines. Then, of course, they have where they can just go right on up and check it out. You know, the tube, flexible mm-hmm. tube going up, and they can check the entire colon.
The colonoscopy.
Now, one of the things that they have more recently is a CT colonoscopy, and it's a virtual colonoscopy.
Oh.
So they can go in there and get some very clear pictures. I've had a few patients who did that, and they actually brought it in to me for me to take a look at. You know, it's pretty cool what you can do with the imaging nowadays. So,
wow. So what does that mean, virtual colonoscopy?
Well,
No tubes.
No tubes.
You don't have to go into...
No. So that's one of the options along those lines. And it depends on what your situation is, you know, mm-hmm. how risky everything is. So, you know, I would leave that up to your gastroenterologist. Mm-hmm. To see which one they recommend. So I would, you know, talk to them, but there are a lot of different types of options. There are people who have different types of problems that require the CT because they can't do that. So there can be different reasons on why they would do those.
Okay. We come back more on colorectal cancer.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Consider the blood work to be the blueprint to your health, and we've had several different radio programs on that and talked about how important it is to have at least a yearly complete blood test to find out where you are. The blood is the life force of the body, and it gives an amazing chemical picture of where you are with your health. And can actually pick up all the different types of diseases that could be going on. So having a thorough blood test is one of the most important things and is recommended by everyone to make sure that your health is up to where it should be and can actually pick up any type of disease process before it becomes a major factor. So having a good blood test, a good thorough blood test, is one of the most important things that you can possibly have. One of the things that I implemented when I started my practice was a blood test that could actually cover any type of problem that was actually developed that someone could actually experience. So we came up with a profile, we gave it to the labs, but they said, wow, that's a pretty good profile. Do you mind if we offer that to other people? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, that would be fine, you know, because I feel that that's something that could be very useful. And they named it the Prather Profile. So I've actually met with other doctors before and talked to them and said, you're Dr. Prather, are you the Prather of the Prather Profile? And I said, yeah, because, you know, they get a list of different profiles. And so it's actually now a national profile. So we actually have 52 different lab tests that are actually included in this profile. It covers everything from A to Z. In other words, any disease process that you could possibly have in your body, that will be covered by this particular blood test. So it is something that should be done by everyone, from no matter how young you are to no matter how old you are, at least once a year to see what your health is. If you have a problem, this will actually pick it up. And one of the nice things about that is it is actually covered by insurance. So very excellent way of actually finding out where you are, and if there are any hidden types of problems that are going on, this will actually show it up.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrated practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
And I'm feeling good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, it's Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. And we've been talking about the importance of screening and how deadly colorectal cancer is.
Sure.
But talking about it is preventable, and the screenings are very important.
If there was a regular screening type of thing, one of the things that has been excellent on reducing cervical cancer in females is the gynecological check.
Right.
That has reduced the number of deaths associated with cervical cancer by over 80%. So, you know, that was a very successful screening. And what we are missing is the only about a third of the people are doing screenings for colon cancer.
Only a third of people
only
are.
Only a third of people are.
Wow.
So, you know, we have a problem along those lines, and it's awareness. So, you know, they made March an awareness of colorectal cancer, trying to get the word out. So we're trying to do our part with the radio program. Mm-hmm. We try to follow CDC and federal government guidelines. And so we're out there talking to everybody that you need to make an appointment and have that checked.
Mm-hmm. So what is being done to reduce the incidence of colorectal cancer?
Well, the awareness. You know, it's such a big problem. And education. Not only are we encouraging people to get the screenings, but we're also talking to people about how to prevent that. So as a structure function care, we have our role. We do not do colonoscopies or different types of things along those lines. Those are for a specialist, and we defer to them and refer to them quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So that they, so people can get, you know, the proper treatments and guidance on the whole process. But, you know, our part is to talk about some of the different types of aspects along those lines that people can do, not even to develop the polyps in the first place.
Yeah, very important. So why is early diagnosis for this so helpful?
Well, it is, again, it's a very simple type of procedure to have those clipped off. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're aware of that, then you can start to take actions to, one, reduce your weight. Any time that you're obese, it's a real problem. And, you know, right now, you know, as we're looking at the population of America, obesity is becoming a very big problem. Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
No pun.
But back in the 70s, the state with the highest fat percentage was Mississippi, and they had about 10%. They were the first ones to break into the 10% range back in the 1970s. Now Mississippi has a 60%.
Ouch.
Obesity rate. Uh-huh. And the lowest state on their obesity rate is Colorado with 25%.
People are really active there. Yeah.
Right. So, but it's still...
It's still high.
Still like
in
high.
In the 70s, you were saying 10% Mississippi...
Was the highest.
Wow. And now... Yeah.
Nobody's... No,
25% is the lowest.
Is the lowest.
Scary.
So, you know, we have an obesity epidemic in the United States, mm-hmm. which is increasing the colon cancer, because obesity is one of the major factors for colon cancer, colorectal cancer.
Mm-hmm. So important.
Yeah.
So what role does structure function care play in colon rectal cancer?
Yeah, you know, we need to look at some of the factors that go into the whole problem along those lines. So we need to address the obesity. We need to address the immune system, which is involved with that. Oxygenation. We need to look at the free radicals that are going on. We need to look at all the dietary considerations. Fiber plays a big role in all this. So we can help people along those lines, and we have some diagnostic tests that are excellent screeners for developing the possibility of colorectal cancer. Mm-hmm. So I've had patients who, well, I can think of one gentleman who came in specifically who I had done a GI stool kit on. And I had looked at his...
He takes it home and does it.
Right. Yeah, I didn't do it on him. That's a good point. I start talking about things, right? And they're
well,
like,
I've had,
huh?
You know, you give the patient the box, and there have been some that say, I do that here. No. Do that in the privacy of your home.
So, you know, he had not developed colorectal cancer yet. But I said, you know, you had a parasite that is very well known to cause that. Mm-hmm. You have the immune system and the toxicity in the colon that could develop into colon cancer. So I said, you need to really look at this and try to get those numbers under control. And I would also recommend that you go in for a colonoscopy just to make sure that that's not something that's developing. Anyway, he was tight financially and didn't want to do all those things. And the thought of doing, you know, he was younger. He was about 45. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I don't, you know, I asked my doctor and I don't need to yet, not till I'm 50. Mm-hmm. So he dismissed me and didn't follow up. And I saw him 3 years later and he said, I've been diagnosed with advanced colon cancer.
3 years later.
3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, you told me.
Uh-huh.
And I appreciate that. You know, is there anything that can be done? Mm-hmm. So we were starting him on some programs, and but everything was unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. You know, the oncologist was doing their part. We were doing our part, you know, to help support him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too late.
Mm.
And you know, so here he was, 48, and died of colon cancer.
Wow.
So you know, looking at some of those things along those lines, and we don't say that to too many people, but there are certain cases that show up as we are doing pre-screens, saying not that you we're not diagnosing that they have that, but
right.
We do want them to go in if they have a high possibility of that.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to go in and get screened, but we also want to change the things that are going on in the bowels to try to prevent that,
right.
Because we do know scientifically, what things are there that set that up?
Right. Right, so it's a pre-screening.
It's a pre-screening for the, not that you,
Right.
But, you know, you have a high possibility.
Because they want you to start the colonoscopies at 50.
Correct? At 50. But there are times where you need to do it younger. Like, you know, if you've had, if there are, you know, family history of things along those lines. That could be a very big factor, too. Okay. Also, you know, if you have different types of parasitic infections, different types of, you know, higher rate of obesity at a younger age, you should probably start earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to your GI specialist. They'll be able to help you. Talk to your physician about that. You know, is this something that I should be following up?
Yeah, or, well, it doesn't seem like we talk about the parasitical infections. We do at our office.
Right.
Because we see them a lot.
Well, we do the test for it.
We do the test.
Most people don't.
Mm-hmm. We don't see the parasites. Some.
Well, actually, they do.
Some, yeah. Anything on that before we go on? I want to make sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what role does chiropractic and acupuncture play?
Well, you know, if you do have any type of cancer, they find that with chiropractic and acupuncture that there is 80% less complaints. So it really cuts down on their pain and discomfort. One of the things that I like to tell people, and I get referrals from oncologists on controlling the pain and cutting down on the symptoms for people with cancer. We had a pancreatic cancer patient who came in. It's one of the most painful cancers. And I was, they were referred to me because their the morphine wasn't working anymore on the pain level. So we started to do acupuncture because that's what we were referred for. And I got a phone call from the oncologist saying, you know, what are you doing to my patient? I'm like, well, what are we doing to the patient? We're just doing acupuncture. And he sits there and he says, well, he came in and I asked him what his pain level was. And he said, oh, none. And he said, well, what's your morphine levels? And he said, none. And he couldn't believe it, because this is one of the most painful, and because we were doing the acupuncture on a regular basis, he was going through the pancreatic cancer, which was, you know, he was definitely going to die from it. You know, there was nothing that could be done. But he was pain-free. Matter of fact, he was supposed to be dead within no more than 2 months, and he actually lived 6 months. And the week before he died, he went to Holiday World.
Holiday World?
Yeah, yep. Holiday World down there with his grandchildren. And had a great time. And then when he did pass away, you know, they said, you know, you're not looking too good, Grandpa. You know, are you, you know, are you not feeling well? He says, no, I'm not feeling quite right. And they said, well, do you need to go to the emergency room? He said, yeah, I think I do. So they put him in the car, and he said, I'm just going to lay back and you know, sleep on the way. And they drove there, and he had passed away, you know, in his sleep. And what a great way.
The quality of life was so good.
Yeah, and even the passing. And that is not normal passing. So the acupuncture and the chiropractic, well, for him it was just acupuncture, but it was able to really help him through that. So with people with cancer, colon cancer, any of those, if they do can get, you know, some regular treatments along those lines, it really improves the quality of life quite a bit. Also, you know, when you're talking about acupuncture and chiropractic, you're talking about really helping the body overall. You know, and the better that the body's working, the less chances you have of getting cancer in the first place. So it's a very good preventative type of thing. The health of the spine, health of the nervous system is critical for your overall health and well-being. And then acupuncture just really, you know, the people that have it done are just amazed at how much better they feel. And, you know, we see, I've had patients, I can think of a patient who had severe kidney problems. And we were trying a lot of different types of things, not really getting it to move. And when we started the acupuncture, all of a sudden the numbers moved.
Well, I remember the patient yesterday. She came out of the spa area.
For the acupuncture, yeah.
Well, she looked so relaxed. I didn't know what she had done, and it looked like she had had a 90-minute massage. No, I just had the acupuncture, and I fell asleep, and it felt so great. And
People
don't realize that. Of course, we do needle and non-needle, but I have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about anemia, why it's so important.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
The low-carb bread, have you tasted it? It looks like bread, but it has no other properties of bread. I went to taste it, and my brain sent a signal to my mouth. Get it out! Get it out! It tasted like the wrapper was still on it. And I said, you know what? I'll put butter on it. Butter wouldn't go on. I would put the pad on and it would fall off. Jam and jelly would beat up and fall off. Did they scotch guard this at the factory? I tried to toast it. It wouldn't toast. I'm out in the garage with a blowtorch. It's absorbing the heat like a space shuttle tile. How does this break down in my system if it doesn't toast? They're going to dig me up in 5,000 years and go, he was on the no carb. See that disc?
Detailed lab tests are crucial to understanding your health. As Dr. Prather always says, if you don't test, you don't know. There are certain lab tests that all of us should have at least once per year. At the Prather Practice, we recommend three affordable tests that provide the blueprint to your health. The Prather Profile is the most comprehensive blood analysis available, providing more information about the function of your body than any other test. Minerals are the common deficiencies in the body, and hair analysis is the most effective way to analyze mineral levels. The bowels have the largest influence on the immune system, and the best way to test that is through the GI Effects Toolkit. The Prather Profile Blood Analysis and the GI Effects Toolkit are even covered by most insurances. Don't guess when it comes to your health. Discover the blueprint to your health at the Prather Practice by calling us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
We're talking today about Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. And Dr. Prather, let's talk about anemia. Why is anemia so important in cancer?
The thing that they find in many cancers, and colon cancer is one of them, if you are anemic, you have a 50% less chance of surviving.
Wow.
If you are not anemic, you have a 50% greater chance of surviving cancer. Mm-hmm. And colon cancer is one of the ones that have been shown true.
So take anemia seriously.
Taking anemia seriously. There was Dr. Warburg in 1931 got a Nobel Prize for showing that oxygenation of the cells is one of the major factors on developing cancer. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I know people in cancer research, and how do they stimulate cells to become cancer so they can do a study on them? They deprive it of oxygen. And when the cells are deprived of oxygen, then they start to ferment to get their energy.
Wow.
So they start a fermentation process. And as that process develops, then you start to get the cellular changes that lead to cancer. One of the ways that they kill cancer cells is they hit it with oxygen.
Mm.
So oxygen kills cancer cells and keeps normal cells healthy, and deprivation of oxygenation creates cancer cells. That's something that's very well proven, very well documented. And how do you get the oxygen to the cells throughout the body? Through the red blood cells. So if you are anemic, that is one of the major factors that go into developing cancer, because you're not getting the oxygenation to the cells. Mm-hmm. So anemia, you know, when people sit there and come in and I'm going over their blood work, I said, it looks really good, but you're anemic. They go, oh, that's not, my doctor says that's no big deal. I've been anemic forever, so that's nothing new. You know, nothing to worry about, nothing I'm interested in dealing with. And I go, oh, no. Anemia is the most cardiovascular disease is because of lowered oxygenation to the heart. You know, you get a deprivation. So the cardiovascular and cancer, the number one and number two killers, are definitely involved. It can be kicked off by anemia all by itself. Mm-hmm. So do not take anemia lightly, and we do not in our office. And one of the things that we do for any of our cancer patients is make sure that they are that they get out of anemia and make sure that they remain in a good place on that.
Yeah. And you'll find young girls going through menstruation. It's very important to check your children. Yeah.
Right. You know, we had the whole incident. Almost every girl who is an athlete in when they're going through, you know, puberty are going to be anemic. Mm-hmm. It's just a guaranteed. So, you know, working on that and making sure that that's taken care of, and checking your children, having, again, a yearly annual check, and fixing those problems, because it is usually a very easy fix.
Mm-hmm. That's encouraging. Well, what role does immune health play?
Well, that's another different type of factor. If you have a properly functioning immune system, you will not develop cancer. Mm-hmm. If your immune system is weakened and it's not functioning properly, and you can tell that through lab tests, which we do, then you have a problem going on.
Well, and your immune system can be weakened and you not get sick. People will say, well, I never get sick.
Oh, yeah.
And their blood work can show
a
weakened immune system, correct?
There's two reasons why you never get sick. One, you have an amazing immune system that fights off everything. Mm-hmm. People in the middle are the ones who get sick. Or you can have an extremely weakened immune system, and the immune system doesn't respond when a virus or a bacteria attack. Mm-hmm. When people get sick, it's because of a response of the body. It's not the virus or the bacteria that's doing that. It's because the body is mobilized and you get a fever because the body's producing the white blood cells to protect you. Mm-hmm. But we have people who are so... actually, it's not that unusual. People who are so lowered on their immune system that the body doesn't respond. Mm-hmm. So they're not responding to infections. So, you know, that's sort of a red flag for us, you know, especially if their immune system is showing up on their blood work as a problem. And I said, oh, that's even more of a problem.
Right.
So now you're not even responding, and you're probably not even responding to cancer cells either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when things take off, because the body will tag, it has a very specific type of a system that will tag cancer cells, because everybody has cancer cells.
Right.
It's whether your immune system is killing them or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that is an absolute critical area. And one of the things is we can see an immune stress in the gut. So that's one of the factors that we're looking for when we do the stool kit, is how is the immune system? Is the immune system under stress, or are things going well in the gut?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we can look at.
Right. Well, let's talk about why a healthy liver is important in cancer, and this is important to me.
Right.
I felt like my liver was getting congested and from drinking coffee.
Oh, sure.
And I've stopped. And I've noticed a difference.
Right, right. And again, one of the things that kicks off cancer that's very well, you've got the oxygenation, you've got the immune system, and then the toxicity levels. You have to have a toxic cell to be able to develop cancer. And what controls and gets rid of the toxins in the body is the liver.
Mm-hmm.
So if the liver, if we can look at liver enzymes and see that they're not functioning as they should, either too high or too low, and the liver isn't properly functioning. Matter of fact, if we palpate the liver is always sore in those cases. And if that is occurring, your chances of getting cancer are much, much greater. So, you know, trying to keep the liver clean. Matter of fact, they used to have cancer clinics that all they would do is clean out the liver, and they had an extremely high success rate. Now, were they treating the cancer? No. Detoxing the liver, getting the immune system up, and getting the oxygenation where it needs to be are all things that are structure function based. In other words, we are making the body healthier, and the body is taking care of the cancer at that point. Mm-hmm. We're not treating the cancer directly, but liver enzymes and keeping a nice healthy liver is one of the critical things. If you have cancer, and if you're trying to prevent cancer or prevent cancer from coming back, it's absolutely important.
Yes. Well, let's talk about the role of pH. What role does pH play in cancer?
Well, pH is critical. What happens in the body with cancer cells is the cancer cells are extremely alkaline. So what happens is alkalinity goes into the cancer cells at a very high level. The area around it becomes very acidic. And the cancer cells then take on a life of their own. If you can, one of the things that that they're actually doing a lot of experiments with is getting the types of minerals that can go into cancer cells. If you change the pH of a cancer cell and lower it down to a more normal level, cancer cells explode. So, you know, cesium is something that they're starting to use in chemo, and cesium is a mineral that can get into cancer cells, because cancer cells put out an
electro... It's a mineral.
It's a mineral.
Mm-hmm.
And the cancer cells can put out an electromagnetic field that keeps minerals from going in and balancing out the pH of the cells. The cancer cells themselves. But cesium and rubidium are two minerals that can get into the cancer cells and can actually kill them. Also, the orotates, magnesium, calcium, potassium orotate, are all different types of minerals that can get in there. And there's a lot of experimentation that the government's doing on using those on getting cancer under control.
And we use that those at our office.
We do use those at our office, one as a preventative and then also as a help as someone's going through cancer. And then afterwards to make sure that the pH of the cellulars are normalized.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a huge difference in cancer. They're finding really good research on that. Matter of fact, it was almost impossible to get cesium right now because the government's buying it all up to use it as experimentation.
Oh, okay.
So it is something that has a very, very exciting possibility for treatments in cancer later, that they're trying to develop.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
When we come back, more on colorectal cancer.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, what can a new patient expect when they come into your office?
The first thing is that's extremely important is a consultation.
Mm-hmm.
That's really where everything begins.
And that consultation is complimentary free. They can come in, and the consultation's with you, which is nice. Yeah,
the consultation is absolutely critical. In fact, you can get 90% of your diagnosis just from the consultation.
Mm-hmm. Listening to the patient.
Listening to the patient, finding out what their concerns are, what needs to be done, how we can best help them. Having a good understanding of the complaints of the patient is absolutely critical for good care. And the patient knowing that we are actually listening to them. We have very thorough intake forms that are extremely helpful. gives us quite a bit of information of what's going on into the system. After the consultation, you have to look at the diagnostics.
Okay.
You first have to understand, you know, where the patient's coming from, have an idea, but then you have to know, you know, what to do, what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference on our diagnostics than from the medical diagnostics. The medical profession, as a disease care-based program, they are looking at disease states and combinations along those lines to treat the symptoms. Our basis of our care is a understanding of what is the underlying cause, finding out what that is. Usually caused by a break from homeostasis.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hear that word if you're listening to our radio program.
You're going to know
every
it
time.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Because homeostasis is the basis of our practice. And homeostasis is the basis of health. And we are a health office. Mm-hmm. That is what a structure function office is.
Mm-hmm.
So the diagnostics are extremely thorough, probably more thorough than what you would get anywhere else. We look at very extensive blood work. We might do hair analysis, might do some evaluation of the gut because that's so important to one's health. We do a thorough cardiac evaluation. We do a thorough musculoskeletal exam. Many offices that even are into natural health are either just dealing with the functional aspect or they are just dealing with the structural aspect. We are unique in that we deal with both, and both of them extremely thoroughly and extremely well.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
It's a beautiful.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, it is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and we're talking about that. The CDC is talking about it, doing a lot of research right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, the awareness is one of the most important types of things. And people to, it's not good to pretend and ignore it.
Right. That's okay. Right. We had some stories about that. So what diagnostics do you use at the Prather Practice to help with, you know, colorectal cancer?
Well, the most important one is the stool kit. Because we look at that, and it's not one of the ones that is normally done, even by your GI doctor, but it tells us how the immune system is doing. Are there toxicities? Is there inflammation? Is there immune stress in there? Are there different types of we're looking at all the infections. We're looking at the bacterial. We're looking at the parasites. We're looking to see if there's a leaky gut. And it even tells us how the pancreatic enzymes are doing, how the hydrochloric acid. So it really gives us a clear picture. And the National Institute of Health has been doing a tremendous study on the health of the colon, how that influences the health of the entire individual.
Right. Your health is in your colon.
The health is in the colon, and this gives us a very clear picture on that, and something that we recommend that everybody should have done once a year, even starting as a baby.
And insurance covers it? Right?
Most insurances do, not all.
It's not bad. You just did yours. I'm going to be doing my annual one here soon.
Good.
So.
Good.
So why should disease care and structure function care work with cancer patients together? Why is that important?
Well, it's critically important because when you're talking about, any type of a healthcare type system, we have truly the best disease care in the entire world. But we are last in outcomes in the developed world countries.
So, last in outcomes.
In other words, the results. even though we have the best disease care and we spend the most on it, on our health care, we have the worst outcomes. In other words, we have the highest disease process. We have the lowest, you know, length of life. In other words, we're not doing. In other words, we failed. And why is that? Because we don't have structured function care as a part of our healthcare model. And the vision on that is 20% of all care should be disease care and 80% should be structure function care. And what we are trying to do is to integrate the two so that they work together, so we realize the necessity of disease care and the amazing things that they can do. And then we are adding the structure function care into it. And if we do that, we will then go from the worst outcomes to the best outcomes. And we can do that. So, you know, we're looking at this totally differently than a disease care. And you need both a disease care doctors and you need structure function care doctors. We encourage everyone to have a structure function care doctor who's looking out for you and taking care of all the things that are preventable and keeping your health up and keeping you healthy, and then you don't need the disease care. I mean, that's
not
the goal
waiting
for
until you have disease.
Not waiting until you have disease. And the stool kit is one of the things. I mean, we do blood tests, we do hair analysis, and so we have the things that we recommend on an annual basis, and all the normal types of tests too, you know, the, the colonoscopy, all those types of things, breast exam, gynecological exam, all those types of things. All those screenings are important, but we also need to add in looking at things in a structure function way, and we can really improve our outcomes tremendously.
Yeah, and these need to be part of the regular screening.
We do.
Your blood test, your hair analysis, your stool kit.
Right, and the stool kit is, again, the thing that has helped me to even keep them from developing the polyps in the first place.
So what does the future hold with cancer, and can we ever eliminate it?
You know, I am very optimistic. There is a excellent research that is being done. Some of the things that we've been touting for quite a long time is really starting to move forward. People are, the research is actually showing up the benefit of structure function care along with highly improved disease care. Some of the regenerative medicine that is coming out is amazing on some of the benefits that can be here. And I, you know, we won't completely ever eliminate cancer, but I really think that we can eliminate 90 to 95% of all cancer in the United States if we start moving forward and doing the things that we know need to be done.
Right.
So I'm very optimistic on the healthcare of America in the future. There are some very good initiatives that are taking place, excellent research that is extremely exciting. And yes, I do feel that for the most part, for the vast majority of people, cancer will not be the concern that it is now.
That's encouraging news.
Yes, and I'm excited to be in the healthcare field, and it's exciting times for it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk. We have about a minute. How does diet influence colorectal cancer?
Fiber. Fiber.
Yes,
fiber eliminates obesity. Fiber is probably the most critical part of preventing colon cancer. If we increase our fiber levels, which is abysmal in the American diet right now, and is one of the main reasons that we have such a high colon cancer problem and rectal cancer problem, is because we don't take fiber into our diet. And we do a stool kit that shows, because people sit there and say, oh, I get plenty of fiber. And we do a stool kit, and we know that the fiber is pretty pitiful. Because you have different types of bacteria that deal with different types of carbohydrates that come in. And it should be a 50-50 split. And the best I've ever seen is a 25-75 split, and that's mine. And besides that, most people are about a 98 to 2% split. So, fiber.
And on that note, I need to run to the bathroom, and we're done with this show. Talking about all this colon
I did all this suggestive stuff with fiber, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.